Book of Matthew, chapter 6, reading verses from 10 to 15. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So as we are moving on with this Lord's Prayer, and we notice here that in verse 10 we have seen yesterday that what it means, thy kingdom come. So we have gone step by step. So what happened in the beginning, then how God the Father is working, and in the process, in that working process, God has sent his only begotten Son so that our sins may be forgiven through his propitiatory work, which is completed on the cross. And now, after his resurrection, according to the promise of him, he sent his Holy Spirit, those who all believed. And now those who show obedience, and he dwells in them and prepares them for the coming kingdom. But the time will come, our Lord Jesus Christ will come with the host of the heavenly angels and also with the overcoming believers to defeat the powers of darkness, and he will establish his kingdom. And he will rule for 1,000 years. After that, he will deliver everything back to the Father, and the Father will create the new heavens and the new earth, and then the tabernacle of God will be with men. And that is the meaning of that, let thy kingdom come. So to that event, and that should be the burden of all the believers, and where the wicked forces are working against the principles of God, promoting evil, immorality, and lawlessness, and ungodly behavior among the people, so that so many deaths, and wars, and famines, and so many other things are prevailing. But those are all not orchestrated by God, but that is coming from so much the evil influence which is working in the hearts of the men. But when that is all will be gone, the kingdom of peace and joy will be ushered in by our Lord Jesus Christ. So that is all going to happen according to the timetable of God. But for the believers, that part yesterday we have seen, but we also noticed, we did not see that, but that has got the spiritual part for the believers, those who are living, and those who lived in their respective generations. So those who have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and received the gift of the Holy Spirit, and as they showed obedience continually, the Holy Spirit dwells in them and guides them, and that is going to be a beautiful life of those new created believers. And in them, though in the physical sense, in flesh and blood, though they live here, but God, who lives in high and lofty places, and who also lives in the contrite and broken hearts, lives pleased to live in them and guide them and lead them. And as they continue to show obedience to his dealings and guidance every day, and that is where the Lord takes charge of the ruling of their lives. And as they recognize him as the king of their life, and acknowledge that Jesus Christ is their Lord, and giving all the proprietary rights on their life to him, and he becomes their king. And as we learn to show obedience to his dealings in our life, without any complaining, murmuring, without any selfish motive, but a longing desire to participate in that divine nature and loving the holiness of God and getting separated from everything which is of the corrupt world and our thoughts, then the Lord takes reign of those hearts and prepares them. And if we are in that manner, allowing the Lord to be our King of our lives, then we can say the Lord is ruling in our hearts. But we cannot say just because our sins are forgiven and we have received the gift of eternal life, we came to know the Lord, but our life is not ruled by Him, or at least we don't have any inclination that He should take charge of our lives and our lives must be ruled by Him. If that earnest desire is not sitting very deeply in our heart, then He will not be our King. He will not force anybody, or He will neither force His way in our lives that He wanted to rule us. Those who show obedience to that, and He will gladly come and live in us, dwell in us, abide in us as we show obedience to His commandments. If you love me, you will do my commandments. When you do obey my commandments, Father and I will come and dwell in you and abide in you. So that is what we read in book of John's Gospel. So that is we need to make a place. The place is when they both see that we are allowing them to take charge of our lives, to be ruled by them, to be guided by them, and a complete utter dependence on their provisions, then God would lead us and guide us as a King of our lives. So many times we sing that song 121, King of my life. That is not truly our experience many times. So though sometimes we allow Him to take charge, but that is not happily or willingly or consistently not the experience of many of us. Peter writing in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, but in the margin it should be read like this, but sanctify Christ as Lord. So I'm reading it again, but sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. So the first phrase of that verse, but sanctify Christ as Lord. So that is what Peter was encouraging the believers when he wrote this one. So means that Christ becoming the ruler or the King of your life. And what is the meaning of sanctification? If you see, it is not that we are going to we are sanctifying the Lord. Meaning here is consecrating Him as a King in your life, or that glorify Him by giving the rights which belong to Him in your life, or making that kind of a separation from the world so that Lord is living in you and a manifestation of that Lord's life is coming out through you by allowing Him to take charge of your life. That is the meaning of it. So I'll read one reference for that one. Book of Numbers chapter, book of, first book of Leviticus chapter 10 verse 3. I'll read first three verses. Okay. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took each of them his censer, and put fire therein, and put incense thereon, and offered a strange fire before the Lord, which He commanded them not. So these are the two Aaron's children, Nadab and Abihu. They offered a different censer put with a different fire, and offered a strange fire before the Lord, which He commanded them not. Verse 2, and there went out fire from the Lord, and it devoured them. They died before the Lord. And fire came from the Lord, and it immediately consumed, and they immediately died. So in verse 3, then Moses said unto Aaron, This is that the Lord spake. Immediately after this incident, where his both the sons were devoured by the fire of God, the God's word came to Moses to convey to Aaron, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me, or I will sanctify myself in those who stand near to me. So that means those who are standing near me, I will sanctify, or I will separate, I will express my holiness, or I will manifest my character and power through them, those who stand near me. And before all the people, I will be glorified. So when I sanctify myself, those who stand near me, that means those who are glorifying me, or those who are separating from the things, or those who are doing according to my commandments, because Nadab and Abihu, they did not do what it pleased to God. They did not do that. That is why the fire came from the Lord and devoured them. So then he told Aaron, and if anybody is standing near me, I will sanctify myself in them. That means you are going to serve in the tabernacle now. You be careful. And if you are willing to serve me, that means if you do anything which is not acceptable to me, then there is a punishment of fire coming and devouring you. So that is the kind of sanctification or the consecration requires if anybody stands near me. If anything short of my name, my holiness, my behavior, my character, then I will not be compromised on that. So Book of Numbers, chapter 20, verse 12. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because ye believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. And there Lord has warned Aaron. And Moses was the person who communicated the message. And now the time came, and Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, and you speak to the rock, they did not. They spoke the rock. And they did not glorify him. They did not sanctify. That means whatever God has commanded them to do, they did not do it. Then what happened? You believed me not, because you did not believe what I said. You thought that you need to strike the children you did not sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. So if anybody, I am coming back to the 1 Peter chapter 3, sanctify Christ as a Lord in your life means that giving him that rights of our life to manifest him through us. And it is a great privilege, though we live in these mortal bodies, the physical bodies, on the earth, and inherited the living, the soulical life from Adam, but now learn to function, to live in spirit, because of the power of the Lord who lives in us. And when we continue to correspond to that holiness of Lord who lives in us, that means the Lord is enjoying the rights of his position as a savior, creator, redeemer, king in our lives. So we can say, the Lord is ruling in my life. Then that is one way of seeing that he is a king in my life. That means I sanctified him. I glorify him through all my life. And whatever he asks me, I do. Whatever his commandments, I do it. And I am pleased to do that. It is not something that it is a burden for me. Because I love him and he supplies the grace when I depend and exercise faith, then I enjoy showing obedience to him and serving him through my life. So I go back to Matthew chapter 6. So those who are living that life who has sanctified Lord in their lives as Lord, sanctified Christ as Lord or King in their lives, about them, then we read a verse here in the book of Colossians chapter 4. I'm reading book of Colossians chapter 4 verse 12. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand mature and fully assured in all the will of God. So, in the assembly where in Colossians, it doesn't seem that Paul visited that, but while he is writing the letter from his prison cell, after receiving the message from Epaphras, and Epaphras stayed back and the letter was sent through somebody, some other brother. And what Epaphras was doing is this, that he was fighting in, he was striving in prayer for you, that you may stand mature and fully assured in the will of God. There he is talking about the whole assembly. And what we have read is in 1 Peter chapter 3:15 is individual people. And now what we are seeing here is as a church. And those people, that what he is saying is that they all should come to know what is the will of God. And in that process, they need to become mature and fully assured in every aspect of what God is going to do in their life, together as an assembly. So the church is, in the understanding, in the scripture, what we see, the people who are truly born again and love the Lord, receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit has much say in their lives. And they are also, as we read the other day in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, baptized in one Spirit to function unto one body, drink of one Spirit. And those brethren, and united by the power of the Spirit, or baptized in the Spirit, and as they function together, and Epaphras' prayer was that they may come, or they may grow into the maturity, and fully assured to do the will of God, or to find the will of God. In the will of God. So you imagine a group of people on the earth understanding the ways of God in their life, understanding the will of God, and if they are able to understand the will of God and execute the will of God as one body, one entity, one unit, many brothers and sisters together, then what is the kingdom of God? In the kingdom of God, in the heavens, whatever God's will is made known, and that will be done. And in 1 Peter chapter 3:15, that it is the one individual, different individual people consecrating Christ as the Lord in their life. And here we see a group of people in an assembly coming together, exercising to grow into the maturity of fully assuring to do the will of God. And that coming together by the Spirit bringing us in together into that one body functionality. And if a group of people understanding the will of God and able to execute the will of God as one entity, one body, and that is the kingdom. That means here, a group of people where the Lord's will is made known and they were able to do that. In the millennial kingdom, when the Lord comes, the kingdom or the every knee shall bow down and every tongue shall confess he is the Lord, that will be done by force because he is going to rule with a rod of iron. Rod of iron speaks of theocracy. Man do not exercise any kind of a freedom whether to bow down or not bow down. Every knee must bow down. But now, every believer had a privilege. They don't need to wait that kingdom of heaven should appear that time. They, individually and also a group of brothers and sisters together, and those who are baptized in spirit to function unto one body, drinking of the same spirit every day. That means they are connected to the head of the Lord Jesus, head as to the head of our Lord Jesus Christ, and under him receiving all the orders and understanding the will of God and functioning together as one unit, then we say the kingship of Lord is prevailing in the believers' lives, in that area, in that locality. So that is what it is going to be. And the Lord is going to, if any body of believers together understand the will of God and without having any self-interest or any competition, jealousy or any kind of a different spirits, but functioning as we are all belong to one Father, one Spirit and one Lord, and we need to come into the understanding and love one another, understand the will of God and function our lives upon the earth to execute the will of God together. If any local assembly can function in that manner, then we may say the will of the Lord is done in this assembly through these brothers and sisters. So that is truly heavenly in nature. So that time we don't need to wait till the kingdom of heaven appears for the 1,000 years period. What it is going to be then, it can be an experience. Those who are truly devoted and understand and individually committed their lives, brought by the baptism of in the spirit together and functioning under the authority of the Lord as one body to execute the will of God. That is what precisely going to happen in the kingdom of heaven when it appears in direct manifestation. So people can question, if I am allowing my life to be ruled by my Lord, then can I say the Lord's kingdom is prevailing in my heart? May not be correct, because the king has got subjects. It is not one subject. It is more than two or three. In book of Matthew chapter 18, we read, where two or three gathered in my name. So when they come together and they both will understand the same burden of the headship, that is the Lord who is consecrated in their hearts, Christ who is consecrated as the Lord in their hearts, and connected to him without any hindrances, to sense, to understand, have the burden to execute the same burden, same will, and leaving all their differences, selfish motives, self-interests, and filled with a joy of only doing together the will of God. If we can come to that kind of understanding in our functionality with fellow brothers and sisters, that is heaven's coming down in the midst of us. Then you said in Matthew 18, then whatever you ask or whatever you bind here, it will be bound in heaven. That means it is a direct access because they agree together. Agreeing is not something because we are friends, we are coming from the same family, our mother tongue is saying, no, it has got nothing to do with the church. These are all very, very superficial and man-made differences. Our language is the Christ language. Our life is from him. And our entity or our identity is connected to him. And we belong to that heavenly family. If those things are ruling in the heart of a brother and a sister, or brothers and sisters, when they come together, they love the Lord, they love their law, they love their master, they love their king, and wanted to do the same will of their king, without bringing any of their personal opinions, then we say the Lord is ruling in the midst of them. And whenever the Lord takes charge of the ruling of a group of people, and that is where the kingdom, he is the king and these people are the subjects. And that is what the Lord expects in any local assembly. And I would like to take a pause here, and if anybody has doubts or questions, then we would like to answer before we move forward. So when the Lord asks us that you pray that let thy will be done on the earth as it is done in heaven, so a truly devoted group of brothers and sisters, and where the Spirit has brought them into that through the baptism to learning to function and to one body, then if that is truly exercised more frequently, then we can say the Lord is ruling in the midst of these people, or his kingdom, his authority is prevailing. But people can say that, okay, I love my wife agrees with me, we are two, then we are agreeing together, then can we become a kingdom? But that is because it is your physical relationship, or wife and husband, that worldly relationship, and that relationship is normally bringing you into some kind of an agreement. But the word in Matthew 18:18 is agreeing, is the word is called symphony. So that means it is a different tunes becoming ultimately evolving to come out as one voice, or one thing, or one tune. And that is not generated by of any of our worldly or earthly relationships. And that one tune must come because of the heavenly origin, because of the heavenly relationship, because of the heavenly working in our earthly lives here. And that is called agreeing or symphony. But if they both come and learn to function under the, both learn to function under the authority of the Lord, both have that kind of a complete devotion, and to express the desire to fulfill the will of God in their life together, then the truly God leads them and bless them. And the Lord expects that every family, godly family, should function in that aspect, in that manner. Not because we love each wife and husband, they love each other and they agree, that has got nothing to do with this. So thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is done in heaven. So that a group of people have a blessed privilege of understanding and doing the will of God as it is being done in heaven. And that is a great privilege. And we, wherever we are gathering, and we need to look for that kind of a platform where in the context of the freedom of God, which is enjoyed by each brother and sister to function and express what the Lord is speaking, doing, and manifesting that kind of life. And more God will be pleased to let his will known to them, and the Lord will be pleased to come and dwell in the midst of them to manifest his power through that group of people upon the earth. And verse 11. Matthew 6 verse 11. Give us this day our daily bread. So then we move to the next prayer part. That is, now that a heavenly portion and a heavenly life functioning in us, after that he comes to that physical and earthly necessities of this life. And give us our daily bread. This is, God created man, when he showed disobedience, then the the earth was cursed. And also the man was cursed. The curse which came upon the man was, you live by the sweat of your brow. So the man was, from that time onwards, man was now started working. So when here we say, give us daily bread means I just sit quietly and I don't want to work, but let Lord provide me because it is the prayer here and he will provide me what I need in my life. And that is not the meaning of that. Otherwise, Paul would have written differently in book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 verse 12. Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. So that means everybody must work and eat their own bread. Unless you are physically incapacitated or something happened or I don't know, different things must have happened that you cannot really function, then that is a different thing. But in general, the Lord expects all of us quietly work and eat our own bread. So the Lord, it is in Acts also, we see that it is blessed to give than to receive. So he expects his children should be like that, giving people, not receiving people. Then in verse 10, in the same chapter, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 verse 10, for even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. So if anybody don't work, then he should not eat also. And the very serious warning Paul puts forth to Thessalonians. But at the same time, we also see in the Old Testament, book of Proverbs, chapter 30, verse 8. Remove far from me the vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food convenient for me. So, don't give me riches or poverty, but give me what is needed for my life. But when we continue to come to the Lord all the time about the earthly needs, and it manifests a couple of things. One, that either we are asking more than what we needed. That means there is a desire to be something big, great, or rich in our hearts that we need to examine. And if we are having a continual exercise on those things, then automatically when one of the apostles, Paul, wrote, and they loved the world and went back, and their faith is devastated. And that should not be the case for the children of God. And in the same chapter, book of Matthew chapter 6, verse 30 onwards. Therefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the heaven, woven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things, do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So one, the believers are supposed to quietly work and eat their own bread. And secondly, and while doing so, our necessities will be met in the riches of his grace, and we do exercise faith for that. And whatever the things which are fully met through our work, and if the Lord is gracious, then he would do that. But to whom he is going to do that is mentioned here in verse 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So we are doing opposite of that. When we are now first pursuing the things of the world and giving to come and live under the authority of the Lord is the second priority or the least priority in the timetable of works which we do, then what we are supposed to receive much liberally, freely, graciously from God, that we are not exercising on that, and we are pursuing and striving to become something, and then here we see a great loss spiritually for us. So our prayers, and we cannot ask for the any luxuries of this life, or I want this or I want that, and in a simple way, whatever the Lord has kept for me, because everything is going to work out good for me as I trust the Lord in my life, and the Lord may continue to guide me and lead me. So I want to stop here for today.